Here's the text, 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is God's word. Dear fellow redeemed, on a recent visit to India, I clipped something out of a newspaper. It's a picture of a sign on a fence. And when you look past the fence, you can see the bank of a river. There's an elephant in the river. And the sign on the fence says, Ramganja River is inhabited by crocodiles. Swimming is prohibited. Survivors will be prosecuted. You think of it to be so close to danger and to have such a clear warning. How could anybody be careless and take a risk at that point? And then you think about the text. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Apparently, Peter needs to remind us to be vigilant about the devil, because we might be tempted to be a little nonchalant. We don't see any paw prints in the snow. There's no blood in the hallway. And so maybe we become complacent about this lion in our midst. I suppose the scary movies don't help in this regard. Maybe you saw the trailer for the recent exorcism movie this winter, and it showed a girl cough and then a nail spit out onto the floor. That's pretty bad. But if only that was the worst that Satan could do to us. Peter says he's a lion, and he's prowling around, and he's looking for somebody to devour. In the Greek, that word devour means to drink down. The implication is to consume, to possess so completely that it's been internalized. You know, he's talking about our souls and our eternal lives. There are two elements about Satan's menace to us that are emphasized in the text today. And the first is that it's a universal menace. Peter says the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And one thing to think about that is when we read that, it refers to the fact that every last Christian is going to suffer from time to time the pangs of a guilty conscience. And that's no fun. King David said, that feels to me like God's hand itself is pressing down on me day and night, he said. That's the guilty conscience that all Christians have to deal with. But then second is the suffering that comes from Satan to the Christian church in a corporate sense all around the world. You see, the Christian church is bumping up against and jostling with this world of ours that opposes the faith. And we can see that today in Ukraine. Political muscle is being flexed to discriminate against Protestant churches. In India today, in some states, Hindu nationalists are actively persecuting the Christians in their midst. Which brings us to the second element of Satan's menace, and that is that it hurts. When Peter refers to suffering for the second time in our text, he says, after you've suffered a while. And that foreboding phrase, after you've suffered for a while, is an indication that suffering in a Christian life is a consequence of exposure to Satan. That's just a fact of life. It's like a foregone conclusion that when Christians are exposed to Satan's influence, they're going to get hurt. Well, people like you and I, we really don't have a very good defense against Satan on our own, do we? You know, here we are, corrupted and crippled by the fallen, sinful nature of all mankind. Where do we look for protection? Fortunately, we have a lion on our side, too. St. John refers to Jesus Christ as the Lion of Judah. And Peter says this, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody in this room this morning that the key to our defense and the only sure security that we have is going to be found in the middle of that sentence in the words, Christ Jesus. That's how God cares for us when we're assaulted by the devil. And Peter says that in Jesus Christ, you and I are perfected. That is the word that's used for nets that have been torn and then get mended again so that they're useful. And you and I are mended again. We're perfected by Jesus Christ in really only one way. It's in the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus Christ was tempted to sin. The writer of the Hebrews says he faced it the same way we did, but he never sinned. Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life in our place as our representative. And when he offered that righteous life to God, God accepted it as though you were the person who lived that life. And on that basis, God declared that as far as he's concerned, you're not guilty of any sin, just as Jesus is not guilty of any sin. And not only was Jesus perfect for you, but he was punished in your place. God shifted the responsibility for your sin from your shoulders to Jesus Christ. He made him guilty, made him accountable for what's wrong with every one of us. And when Jesus died at the cross, all of our sin was punished. It's all taken away now. And when God raised up Jesus from the dead on the first Easter morning, it was a public proof to all of human history that it worked, that God accepted what Christ had done for us, that he was satisfied with the life and death of Christ in our place. And now, because of what Christ has done, because our sins have been taken away, because we've been declared righteous, we're going to rise from our graves and live forever in heaven, just as Christ rose from his grave. The key to this is the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. And after we have that, then Peter says in the text, he establishes and strengthens us so that we can resist the devil and stand firm in the faith. You and I are not going to resist the devil based on our own merits. We are not going to be able to stand against that lion all alone. We don't need to. We resist Satan, as Peter says in the text, by being steadfast in the faith. That is, in the confidence that we are not going to be accused. We are not going to be condemned. We are not going to be punished for our sin. Because Jesus Christ experienced all that in our place. We're safe and secure. Because as Peter said, it's the God of all grace who has called us into eternity by Christ Jesus. So it's true. We walk in danger all the way. Crocodiles in the river, a lion prowling around. We're glad that St. Peter has given us this clear warning, but glad also that he has given us an assurance that in Jesus Christ, you and I have safe passage. Amen. For our prayer this morning, will you turn to page 152? And we will pray together, collect number 41. Please rise. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary does continually afflict us, and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, we beseech you, for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.